Texas officials are on deadline. Today, they had to hand over documents to a congressional committee investigating whether the state tried to suppress immigrant votes. In January, the Texas State Department said that 100,000 people on its voter rolls might not be citizens. The state gave people on that list 30 days to prove that they were citizens, or else they would be purged from the voter rolls. But in February, a federal judge blocked the State Department from removing names, calling the state's actions, quote, ham-handed and threatening. Allie Morris is a reporter for the San Antonio Express News, and she's been following the story closely. Allie, thanks for being with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
So can you walk us through briefly what these lawsuits and the congressional investigation have gone?
Basically, what happened started in January when, as you mentioned, the Secretary of State flagged, you know, nearly 100,000 people as potential non-citizens on the voter rolls. Immediately, Republicans ran with that number, some people tweeting out that it showed potential voter fraud in Texas. But then pretty quickly, within days, county elections officials here found huge flaws with the list and quickly cleared at least 20,000 names from the list without even doing a further vetting. And so now with this lawsuit, the judge obviously blocked this purge. And now both sides are in settlement talks, which we understand might be resolved as early as the end of this month, which would so far basically call on the state to scrap this effort and start over. And then in the meantime, we have Democrats in Congress launching this investigation into Texas and actually some other states, too, looking at into what they call, you know, potentially suppressing votes in some of these states. And as you mentioned, the Secretary of State has until today to turn over some records. As far as we know, they are cooperating with that request. They obviously had to turn over documents as part of the lawsuit, so I assume much of that will be the same.
Allie, how did the state determine who would be flagged as a potential non-citizen here? What criteria did they use?
So what the state did is they looked at driver's license data and tried to identify people who had at one point showed up to a driver's license office and told officials there that they weren't a citizen. Now, the problem is that the state looked at data going back as far as 20 years. And what critics were quick to point out is that comparing this information to the state's voter rolls could flag people who went to a DMV, said they were a non-citizen, and then before they renewed their license years later, became naturalized. There's about 50,000 people in Texas who are naturalized citizens every year. So quite a number of those people were caught up in the list.
We have a State Department, a U.S. State Department statement, and I'd like to read you a part of it. It says, quote, "We are encouraged by the positive and constructive progress we've made with the plaintiffs, and we remain committed to our goal of maintaining accurate voter rolls while eliminating the impact of any list maintenance activity on eligible Texas voters." What do they mean when they say positive and constructive progress?
Obviously, a final settlement hasn't been reached in this case, but so far we understand that they're pretty close. And what that deal might look like is scrapping this method that they've used and moving forward, doing the same type of effort, but only looking at people who registered to vote and then went to a driver's license office and reported themselves as non-citizens. So not taking this risk of potentially flagging people who may be naturalized, which is what the federal judge said, basically created a mess that intimidated some of these naturalized citizens.
Now, I just want to clarify here, was there anyone who was actually purged from the rolls?
No. So in fact, the judge basically halted the effort before that could take place. And a few counties actually sent out notice to voters on the list saying that they had to show proof of citizenship within 30 days or potentially be stricken from the voter rolls. However, before that time period was up, the judge called a halt to this effort. So as far as we know, no one was actually removed from the rolls as a result of this effort.
What is this investigation trying to attain that did not happen in the lawsuits?
I think what congressional Democrats are aiming at is trying to look at Texas and some other states to see what efforts, what they claim might be efforts to suppress the vote. And, you know, Texas is a state that has continually faced lawsuits for some of the voting steps they have taken. You know, Republicans here continually say that they want to ensure elections where, you know, no non-citizens are potentially voting, and they want to kind of crack down on what they call voter fraud. The Democrats say, you know, there's been no evidence of any kind of widespread voter fraud, but still the state has passed some pretty strict voter ID laws that were subject to litigation, and also the state's political maps where they've drawn congressional districts and also legislative districts have been subject to the same litigation and claims of potential suppression.
Texas Secretary of State David Whitley told the Texas Monthly, quote, "We will fully comply. We have absolutely nothing to hide," and added that they would turn over any documentation that they were asked to turn over. Have they?
They have. I spoke with someone at the office yesterday, and they said they plan to send some materials to congressional investigators, obviously as part of the lawsuit. They had to turn over reams of data, but most of that has been under seal. So when reporters have been trying to get information such as the names on this list or potential emails or correspondence between, you know, agencies and political figures here, we haven't been able to get that. But once the lawsuit is settled, we're thinking that those documents might become more publicly available.
Allie Morris is a reporter for the San Antonio Express News. Allie, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Now we're going to take a wider angle look at the outsized impact Texas voters have on the rest of the country. And to do that, we're going to talk to Mark Jones, a fellow in political science at Rice University's Baker Institute. Mark, thanks for being with us.
No, thanks for having me on the show.
We hear a lot about states like Florida, but tell us a little bit about the political influence that Texas has on the rest of the country.
Well, first and foremost, we're the second most populous state in the country, which means we have 36 members of the U.S. House, which is the second largest delegation after California. We also are the one true red state among the major states. California's blue, New York is blue, Florida is purple. We're the one red state. And so we're sort of a keystone for Republican politics across the country. If Texas falls for Republicans or falters, then nationally, they're pretty much out of luck.
Now, we currently have a New Yorker in the White House, but we know Texans are continuing to strike chords across the country. We're thinking about politicians like George W. Bush, Rick Perry, Ted Cruz, and Beto O'Rourke, and of course, Julian Castro. What does that tell us about? Is there something in the water?
Well, I think there's something in the water in the sense that we're a huge state. We have 20 media markets, 28 million people. It takes a really talented person and a hardworking person to rise to the top in a state like Texas. It's a lot easier to rise to the top in a small state with 2 or 3 million people. If you can get to the top in Texas, that means you're the best of the best. And so we tend to see politicians that succeed here as in our proving ground, better able to have success in national politics than people from smaller states.
What about the shade? You mentioned that Texas is solidly red, but there were efforts a couple years ago to try and tilt that balance, or there have been efforts to tilt that balance a little more perhaps to the purple side of things. How are those efforts going?
Well, the first efforts back in 2014 with Battleground Texas failed dismally, with Governor Greg Abbott, the Republican governor, defeating his Democratic rival Wendy Davis by 20 points. Now, Democrats have been helped in recent years, in 2016 and particularly 2018, by the presence of Donald Trump in the White House. He's a millstone around Texas Republicans' necks, and he's dragging the party down, helping Democrats mobilize, as well as driving some independent and Republican voters away from the Republican Party and towards the Democratic Party, potentially turning Texas purple right now. But I think once Donald Trump leaves office in 2020, assuming that happens, Republicans will probably be able to gain back some of the ground that they've lost during the Trump administration.
So should we not make much out of the fact that in November, Beto O'Rourke came close to beating Ted Cruz?
Well, I think that was a warning sign for Texas Republicans. And I think what it means for the future depends on what the Republican Party does here in Texas. If it follows a path that's being proposed by people like George P. Bush, our land commissioner, or Greg Abbott, our governor, and trying to essentially steer a more centrist course, I think the Republican Party is still in pretty good shape to keep its majority into the next decade. On the other hand, if it follows the more polarizing politicians, such as our Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, who is a big supporter of a bathroom bill to ban transgender bathroom use, then the Republican Party could very well be in trouble during the next decade, even if Donald Trump leaves office. So I think right now the ball is in the court of the Republican Party in Texas, and depending on how it behaves over the next few years, Texas could either turn purple or it could stay red.
Mark Jones is a political science fellow at Rice University's Baker Institute. Mark, thanks for coming on The Takeaway.
Oh, thank you.